Jesus' name. It's a blessing to be among the people of God this morning. I'm amazed sometimes how the Spirit leads, and I thank Brother Anthony for those devotional thoughts. It is an introduction to my lesson, or my subject here this morning. To introduce the subject, I'd like to read a short story here that I came across. A little girl came to her mother and said, "I suppose up in heaven they think I am dead." The mother replied, "Why, Mary? Why do you suppose they think you are dead?" "Well," said the little girl, "because I have not said my prayers for a week." How about you? When was the last time you prayed? Or when was the last time you really prayed and meant business with God? For some text verses, I invite your attention to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, we're going to read verses 36 through 41. Recently, the Lord seemed to lay this burden on my heart as it relates to the subject of prayer and fasting. And some weeks back, I was driving along in my truck, and I was in deep meditation about some of the needs that exist, particularly needs that exist in this congregation. And I felt this deep burden within my own heart to be more earnest in prayer. And almost immediately those words of Jesus came to me. We'll read them there in Matthew chapter 26, where it says, "What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? It seemed as though the Lord was asking me to be watchful, to be prayerful, to be more earnest in prayer. Let's read those verses in Matthew chapter 26. Starting in at verse 36, you'll immediately notice that this is Jesus. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples. This is no doubt probably one of the hardest times in Jesus' life, one of the hardest emotional experiences Jesus has gone through. Verse 36, Matthew chapter 26. "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." So we have Jesus here, and he's in the garden, and Jesus knows full well what is about to take place in his life. And he's there, and he's sweating these great drops of blood. He's there crying out to the Father, and he says, "Father, if this is possible, let this cup pass from me." You see this intense struggle going on in the spirit of Jesus. On one hand, Jesus completely in tune with the Father and wanting to carry out the Father's will. But on the other hand, the flesh is recoiling at the thought of pain and great suffering that lie ahead. You can see an intense situation here. And Jesus, if there's any time in Jesus' experience that he needed the support of his disciples, it was in this time. Jesus needed that companionship. He needed that support from his disciples. But as Jesus returns to his disciples, he finds them sleeping. And then we have these words of Jesus that say, "What? Can ye not watch with me 1 hour?" And in a very real sense, these words are still relevant today. You know, Jesus wanted his disciples to support him. He wanted to feel that physical and emotional support for the journey that lie ahead. But today, as disciples of Christ, those words of Jesus are still very relevant. Jesus is asking you and I to support others by praying for them, praying for others. Jesus is still saying to you and I today, can't you at least pray 1 hour? Don't you see the needs that are out there? Don't you sense the intensity of the spiritual battle? Can't you see the great physical, emotional, and the spiritual needs that are all around you? So this morning, I would simply like to convey this burden to you that the Lord has placed on my heart in this area of prayer. Hopefully, that same burden can be placed in your heart to be more earnest in prayer. The title of the message this morning is, "What Could Ye Not Watch With Me 1 Hour?" To get started, I would like to look at what is prayer, just briefly. And for this point, I have a story I would like to read that illustrates what prayer is. A man's daughter had asked the local pastor to come and pray with her father. When the pastor arrived, he found the man lying in bed with his head propped up on two pillows and an empty chair beside his bed. The pastor assumed that the old fellow had been informed of his visit. "I guess you were expecting me," he said. "No, who are you?" "I am the new associate at your local church," the pastor replied. "When I saw the empty chair, I figured you knew I was going to show up." "Oh yeah, the chair," said the bedridden man. "Would you mind closing the door?" Puzzled, the pastor shut the door. "I've never told anyone this, not even my daughter," said the man. "But all of my life, I have never known how to pray. At church, I used to hear the pastor talk about prayer, but it always went right over my head. I abandoned any attempt at prayer," the old man continued, "until one day, about 4 years ago, my best friend said to me, 'Joe, prayer is just a simple matter of having a conversation with Jesus. Here's what I suggest. Sit on a chair, place an empty chair in front of you, and in faith see Jesus on the chair. Then just speak to him and listen in the same way you are doing with me right now.' So I tried it, and I liked it so much that I do it a couple of hours every day. I'm careful, though. If my daughter saw me talking to an empty chair, she'd either have a nervous breakdown or send me off to the funny farm. The pastor was deeply moved by the story and encouraged the old man to continue on the journey. Then he prayed with him and returned to the church. Two nights later, the daughter called to tell the pastor that her daddy had died that afternoon. "Did he seem to die in peace?" he asked. "Yes, but there was something strange. In fact, beyond strange, kind of weird. Apparently, just before Daddy died, he leaned over and rested his head on a chair beside the bed." So what is prayer? Prayer is communication with God. It doesn't have to be some eloquent type of speech. It's just normal conversation with God. It's conversing, just like you converse with your friend. Prayer is, I believe, a two-way communication. Our spirit has to be open, and our hearts need to be open and receptive to what God wants to tell us, as well as us communicating with God. Originally, I had several main points to this message, and then I started to realize that there's no way I'm going to cover all of this. The subject of prayer is big. And so, for the remainder of the time, I want to look at the power of prayer. We want to look at several points on the power of prayer. To get started with this, I'd invite your attention to James chapter 5. James, I believe, was a real prayer warrior. There's several verses here in James that talk about prayer. So James chapter 5, I'd like to read verses 13 through 18. And we're thinking about the power of prayer. James chapter 5, verse 13. "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." So under this point, the power of prayer, my first sub-point is prayer availeth much. Prayer availeth much. It says there, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There's two basic areas I would like to divide this point into. Sometimes we pray for something. And we pray and we pray. Maybe it's for a loved one that doesn't know the Lord, a close friend or relative, and your heart is burdened for them, and you pray for them and you pray for them, and there's seemingly no change in their life. But the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So if you're praying for your friend and you're praying for your friend and there's no change, is the prayer availing much? I believe it is. And the first area I'd like to look at is how that prayer availeth much in our own hearts. Yes, there is power in prayer. And sometimes we underestimate the power of prayer. Sometimes I think we seemingly weary of praying about a particular need because it doesn't look like there's any changes. Doesn't look like it's helping. But this verse says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." So you're praying for this unsaved friend, and you've been praying for many years. There's seemingly no change. Just remember, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Maybe there's no change on the outside, the outward circumstances, maybe there's seemingly no difference. But sometimes we fail to look for results at the right places. How about in your own heart? Sometimes we look at the circumstance many times and we say there's no change. And we fail to look at how God is working in our own hearts. I'd like to challenge us that when you feel emotionally discouraged, when you feel emotionally low and discouraged, sometimes you may wonder if it's any use to even try. Just remember that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When you're overwhelmed with the pressures and the grind of daily life, remember that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When you're faced with a health condition, and the health condition seemingly is only getting worse and worse, just remember that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. This verse does not say that the health issue will be healed. It doesn't say that if you pray for your unsaved friend, that they will immediately respond to the truth of the gospel. Yes, I believe it's very true what this verse says, and that is that the prayer of the righteous availeth much. But many times the way that it availeth much is the way that our prayer changes us. It's the way that our prayer changes our own hearts. I'd like to share a personal illustration to emphasize this point. And I wasn't sure if I should share this or not, but in my younger teen years, I sensed a real need to reach out, share the good news of salvation with the lost. So I made that a matter of prayer. And as I prayed about it, I felt this growing burden within my own heart to do something about it. And from that came the start of a tract ministry in the city of Harrisburg. Today, the need to reach the lost is still a very real need. The need has not gotten any better. In fact, the need is still there. More than ever. But there was something that took place in my own heart when I prayed that prayer. You see, many people tend to be results-driven. They look at something and they want to see results. But have you ever considered the fact that maybe you are looking at the wrong place for results? Maybe those results are taking place in your very own heart. The second subpoint under this thought of the fact that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much is that God does at times answer prayer in a mighty way. Sometimes there are visible manifestations of God's power. Recently, as ministry, we were sitting in a meeting, and the one brother shared that in their home congregation, there was a young child, and I'm not even 100% sure what happened, but some kind of catastrophe happened, and the child was basically lifeless. They were doing CPR on the child for, I believe, he said around 45 minutes. They thought for sure they were going to lose the child. And the congregation had got together to pray. I don't know if it was a special gathering that they called together especially for this need or if it was actually at their time of prayer meeting, but they were praying. And that child, around the time that the congregation was gathered to pray, that child revived. And the doctor said that the child will probably not suffer any kind of brain damage. The doctor pronounced the child well, physically. What a miracle. You know, God sometimes does answer prayer in mighty ways. And if we look at verse 17 and 18 there in James, it gives the example of Elijah. This man of God, and he prayed, earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain and brought forth her fruit. Came across a challenging story about David Livingstone. David was a medical doctor, and he went to Africa. But he wasn't content to stay in South Africa, where there were few native Africans. Instead, he explored the inner continent. So he was a great missionary and a great explorer. He was the first white man to traverse the continent of Africa from east to west. He discovered Victoria Falls. He traveled over 29,000 miles and mapped 1 million square miles of previously uncharted territory. When David Livingstone first began his ministry, there were some native tribes that opposed him. One particular warlike tribe said they were going to kill him and his party that night. So as they were setting up camp, the word was out that these warriors were tracking them all that day and that they were going to come in and kill them. So it was evening, and David Livingstone felt this turmoil in his heart. The fear and the prospect of having all his plans knocked on the head by these Indians who were just outside the camp. And those who studied the writing in his journal say that you can see the fear in the letters that he wrote. But he wrote this: "But Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. He also wrote, "This is the word of a gentleman of most strict and sacred honor." So that's the end of my fear. I feel quite calm now. His letters are said to be much straighter after that. Anyway, sometime later, the attack did not take place, and sometime later, David Livingston was on furlough in Scotland, and he shared this story at a church that was supporting him. A man came to him afterwards with his prayer journal and said, "Look, I wrote it down. January 14, 1856 was the night." David Livingston said, "Yes," the man said, "that night a group of men came to pray for you. We prayed for your protection. I wrote it down. There were 47 men praying that night." Portion of the story actually that I meant to say and didn't was that sometime later, some of these folks from this tribe they were there to attack David and his men that night. Sometime later, they were converted to Christianity, and David asked the chief why he didn't destroy them that night. And the chief said, "When we got close to the camp, we looked and saw 47 warriors surrounding your camp with swords in their hands." Just a beautiful picture of how God works and can work in mighty ways, miraculous ways. The second point on the power of prayer is the power of prayer. Prayer can cast out the powers of darkness. I'd like to go to Matthew chapter 17 for a few verses on this. And I see our time is rapidly getting away from us. Matthew chapter 17. And I'm going to read verses 14 through 21. Matthew 17, verse 14. "And when they came to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying," this man was coming to Jesus here, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me." And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." Satan's power is no match for God's power. God is all-powerful. We find that in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, where it says that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So as Christians, we have God's power available to us. It's not in us, it's God's power. It's not our power. But God's power is available to us to be able to defeat the powers of darkness. And you beseech the power of God to defeat the powers of evil through prayer. Think about the awesome power of God. It's a power that can do anything. It's the power that brought this world into existence. It's unlimited power. My mind does not comprehend that. But we as children of God have that power available to us. You know, there's no other setup, if I could call it that, no other arrangement such as that anywhere in this world that I know of where a person that's not powerful in themselves has, because of their relationship, has all power, has the power of God. The devil trembles when he sees a Christian on his knees. Notice here that the disciples were not able to cast this devil out of this boy. And it says there that the disciples ask Jesus, why could not we cast him out? First of all, I'd like to note that the power is not of us. This is the power of God. Secondly, Jesus said that you didn't have enough faith. If you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you'll be able to do great things. So, if we want to have this power, we need to have faith. And I'd like to just think of it as faith is our connection with God. And that's the medium by which that power can flow through. If you don't have faith, you're disconnected. You don't have that power. But it's interesting here how that a little bit of faith can do great things. If you're like me, sometimes I feel my faith is weak. But take heart, a little bit can do a lot. The third point I'd like to look at about the power of prayer, relating to the power of prayer, prayer brings healing. And I get that from the verses in James 5, beginning of the chapter there. It says, is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. From these verses, I'd like to zero in on the fact that there is power in prayer for healing. And I'd like to focus on the power that is there for healing, for spiritual healing. Yes, God does heal physically. Sometimes God chooses not to heal physically. But there is always a power that we have by coming to God in prayer for spiritual healing. It can be spiritual healing for that sinner, that person that's burdened with sin. And as he comes to God in prayer, confessing and repenting of his sin, and in faith believes on Jesus, there's spiritual healing. Instead of the turmoil and the guilt, there's forgiveness and peace. It could be a brother or a sister that senses a need in their life, and they share that with another spiritual brother or sister, and they ask them for prayer. That brings spiritual healing. It says there in verse 16, confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another that ye may be healed. Thirdly, I'd like to look at thinking about the power in prayer. There's bountiful blessings that come as a result of persistent, earnest prayer life. There's blessings. Prayer can bring blessing. That's the power of prayer. Just like to read a verse in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Also a verse in Psalms 126:5, it says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. So there is great blessing in prayer, as we are earnest in prayer. You find a great blessing there. But if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you are earnest in prayer and you sow much in prayer, you reap much. The blessings are proportional to the amount that you put in. So I'd like to challenge us to deeper prayer. The last point I'd like to look at is prayer moves the heart of God. Prayer moves the heart of God. Now, I realize I'm possibly walking a fine line with this kind of statement. Because on one hand, you have a verse like Malachi 3:6, which says, for I am the Lord, I change not. On the other hand, you have a passage like 2 Kings 20, verse 1 through 5. And I don't think I'll turn there for the sake of time, but Hezekiah, the prophet, goes to Hezekiah and says, set your house in order, you're going to die. And Hezekiah cries out to God, and he prays. And the prophet is not even out of the king's court, and God says to the prophet, go back and tell Hezekiah he's going to have 15 more years. So, did Hezekiah's prayer move the heart of God in this account to give him 15 more years? And if Hezekiah's prayer did not make a difference as to how God was going to respond, then why pray? I don't profess to be able to understand the mind of God. And I don't know exactly how to reconcile these two things. But it seems very clear to me from Scripture that prayer is needful. That's very clear. You have verses such as 1 Thessalonians 5:17 that says, pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6:18, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So prayer is very needful. We can see that from Scripture. It is also very evident to me that throughout Scripture you have accounts of saints that prayed, and their prayer changed the circumstance. Great and powerful things happened because of prayer. God intervened with some supernatural event. One example of that would be when Peter was in prison. Peter was in prison, and the church gathered to pray. And as they were praying, this great earthquake came, and the chains fell off of Peter's hands and feet, and he was led right out through the prison, right out into freedom. Another account we could look at, and again, I won't turn to it for the sake of time, But that's the account of Jonah. You'll remember that Jonah was sent to Nineveh to proclaim judgment on the city. Jonah went in there and he said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." But the city repented. The people and even the king put aside his robe and he dressed in sackcloth and ashes, and he commanded that animal and all people, they dress in sackcloth and ashes, and that they fast, they don't eat. So they repented of their wickedness. And then it says there in Jonah 3, verse 10, "And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not." And there's more accounts in Scripture where prayer, intercessory prayer, made a difference. We could think of Abraham in his intercession for Lot. So there's much that can be accomplished with prayer. When God's children pray, when God's children are fervent in prayer, the powers of darkness can be defeated. God's kingdom can grow. The discouraged can feel revived. The sinner can find cleansing. Again, there's prayer, I believe, has a way of moving the heart of God, if you want to say it that way. So as I was driving along, I was thinking, so what powerful effect, or what kind of positive influence could there be for the kingdom of God if all saints across the world would commit themselves to praying one extra hour every week? You know, that's less than 10 minutes a day. What kind of powerful effect would that have on the world? Think of all the added physical and spiritual healing that could be a result of that. And as I stated earlier, as I was driving along, I was thinking about some of the needs in this congregation. And one of those needs, one of the primary needs that I was thinking about, was about Sister Rachel. Most of us, I'm sure, are aware that Rachel plans to go for surgery on the 20th of this month. That's roughly a week and a few days away. What effect could we have as a congregation if we committed ourselves to one extra hour of prayer this week on behalf of her and the needs here in this congregation? What difference could be made if we commit ourselves to praying 1 hour this week? I would like to suggest that you skip two meals this week and spend that time in prayer. I wasn't sure if I should ask for a raise of hands as who all would commit themselves to doing that. You know, on one hand, prayer is, it needs to be part of, it's our private time with God. It's not something we do for recognition. But on the other hand, If I see a raise of hands, who is able or who is willing to commit themselves to this? There's accountability there. If I raise my hand and say, I'm going to do this, suddenly now I need to do it because I just showed everybody that I'm going to do this. I probably won't ask for a raise of hands, but I would like if you would take it seriously. If you could commit yourself to skipping two meals and spending time in prayer. God bless you this week as you pray on behalf of the needs here in this congregation, especially thinking of Sister Rachel and the Martin family. You know, sometimes I know for myself it's hard to know what to say or how to relate, but we can cry out to God about it, and we can share it with God. And I think God wants that of his children, to cry out to him. And there's a blessing in denying yourself spiritual nourishment. I can tell you you have to put forth effort to make it happen. But there's a real blessing in that, and I just want to encourage you in that. So God bless you as you war in prayer this week. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.